You're listening to Finding Direction, where we help people who feel lost find direction in their life. We interview the most passionate and fulfilled people and reverse engineer their life to uncover how they found direction. In doing so, we uncover strategies, tactics, and actionable steps you can apply to live a life of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. I'm your host, Stu Massengill, and thanks for listening in. What's up, everybody? This week's episode is brought to you by Audible. And if you have not heard of Audible yet, this is an absolute must have, an absolute must add to your tool belt and to your daily life. Now, a little bit about Audible. They are a leading provider of spoken word audiobooks. Basically, you can find any book you would ever imagine in audiobook format on Audible. And a couple books that I personally have listened to on Audible, and honestly that have been the most impactful books in my life, are two that I'll recommend for you that you can basically dive right into. The first book is called The Defining Decade. And I know on this show we talk a lot about figuring out your life, your purpose, and what you want to do with your life. And this book basically, Dr. Meg Jay, she really dives into a little bit more of the science behind how to figure out what you want to do with your life. She was a counselor at a college, and basically through seeing so many people go through this question of what do I want to do with my life, she really went into this pretty big study around it. So that's a phenomenal book. Absolutely, absolutely recommend that if you're wanting to figure out what you're doing with your life. And the second book, which this is hands down absolutely the most profound book I've ever read in my life, the biggest book that changed my life, and it's called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. And don't get sidetracked by the title. It's not a negative connotation of influencing people. It's how can you go out there and be better at communicating, right? Because if we are not good with humans, we're not going to enjoy life as much. They are everywhere. I grew up as a shy kid and didn't really feel like I had communication skills. And when I got my hands on this book, I can tell you it changed everything for me in my life, not just to be happier around people, but just be more fulfilled and more excited and find more joy in life. So those are two books that I absolutely, absolutely hands down recommend. And a couple other cool things about Audible is, as we mentioned, there's thousands of titles you can choose from there. And the cool part is you get to listen wherever you want. You can actually download the audiobook to your phone and you can listen to it while you're on a plane. You can pause it, you can come back to it on another device and resume right where you left off. And it's all done from an app from your phone. So they make it really simple. You listen to it anytime you want. I often will listen to it while I'm cooking food or going on a walk or if I'm working out. It's just an easy way to really learn more while doing a bunch of other random things that I do in my daily life. So absolutely recommend checking them out. And for all of you that have not checked out Audible yet, what we're going to be doing today on the episode, which is really cool, is we're going to get you a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership of Audible. All you need to do is just go to audibletrial.com/findingdirection and you're going to get one free audiobook. So, you know, again, I would check out The Defining Decade. It's a big book helping you figure out what you want to do with your life. And also another incredible one, a must check out, is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. Again, just go to audibletrial.com/findingdirection. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Finding Direction podcast. This week, I'm sitting down with my man, Shimon Wright. And a little bit about Shimon, he is the founder of a company called Bridge Builders, where they help people in underserved communities bridge the gap from lower education to higher education to really start doing more things with their life. He is also a motivational speaker. And on this episode, a few of the things we talk about are how taking responsibility is the first step to changing your current situation. All right, we also talk about the three things you can do to instantly begin changing the narrative of yourself. And we dive into a lot of other things as far as really what Shimon went through growing up from a pretty rough childhood to really now creating an incredible life for himself. I know you're going to enjoy this. Shimon brings so much value. And without further ado, we are going to dive in. Shimon Wright, welcome to the podcast, man. I am looking forward to our conversation.
Me too, man. I'm looking forward to it, man. Like I said once before, man, I just thank you so much just for this time. You know, just hitting me up, reaching out to me, and just this time for us to fellowship and talk. You know, I'm looking forward to this, man. I can't wait.
Absolutely, man. And I'm excited to dive into your life, your story, man. And so, you know, as we kind of kick off your journey and your story of how you got to where you are today, I would love it if you could start by kind of filling us in a little bit as far as like what was life like for a little Shimon as you were, you know, a little tyke running around doing whatever you're doing over in Antioch, California.
Life for me was very confusing. It was very traumatic. As a Black male, I didn't know who I was growing up in this world. You know, I started off in Oakland, California, and being in Oakland, a lot of times growing up in poverty, and I grew up in poverty, low income housing. But to tell you the truth, when I first started off, I had two parents. You know, I have six brothers, and we grew up in a nice household. Nice. And a nice family. And my dad was a recovering alcoholic, ended up getting out of prison. And in that process, something triggered my father where he ended up reverting back to what he was used to and accustomed to. Ended up leaving my mom, ended up going back on drugs, in and out of jail, prison. And in that process, because I didn't have a Black male role model to show me what it was like to be a Black man, you know, I let everything else outside influence me. So I let my community influence me. I let the media show me what a successful Black male looks like. And so from that point of view, I was constantly trying to figure out who I was. And so I was an athlete growing up. I started playing sports at the age of seven. I started playing sports at the age of four. My first sport that I played was baseball. And then from that point, you know, I ended up going to football, running track. But in that process, because we grew up in poverty, we grew up in low income housing, grew up in the projects, I was trying to really try to understand who I was, understand my community, understanding how to survive in this community. And so when I looked at people in my community that were making money and being able to help support their family, like some of my friends, I was like, okay, well, I need to make money. So how can I make money? And because I ended up doing that, I ended up committing a crime, ended up going to juvenile hall, right? And even in that process of me going to juvenile hall, I was still trying to understand my identity, right? And what's going on in my life. Like, I knew in that process I couldn't be like my father. I knew I had to change something. So I struggled so much academically because I went through so much traumatic experiences. Like, my cousin got killed right in front of me when I was at the age of 10. You know, I lost a lot of friends. Jeez. I witnessed a lot. We were in and out of homeless shelters. I saw my mom get arrested right in front of us. And when my mom got arrested right in front of us, and me and my brothers had to go to a group home, I remember when we were in that group home, and I remember a time where we were sitting there and I was crying, right? And in that process, when I was crying, I knew nobody was coming to get us, right? And so when nobody came to get us is when I had to take ownership and accountability for my life. And so because of that, you know, ended up landing me in juvenile hall, ended up landing me getting kicked out of schools. I struggled academically, like I said once before. And I ended up, like I said, in that moment, I ended up finding out who I was. And when I got out of juvenile hall, I remember a specific time and a specific moment where I was sitting on this air mattress, right? And I was sitting on this air mattress and we were sleeping on the floor at my mom's friend's house. And I saw my earth signs book in the corner. And so when I saw that book, I ended up just opening up that book to just start my homework. And I ended up doing my homework. And from that, I went from a 0.0 to a 4.0, you know, and I think the rest was history. Now, I hope as we go throughout the process, we could go ahead and talk a little bit more about how, you know, by me just sitting down and doing my homework and not thinking about any reward or anything attached to it, just taking it day by day, transpired to where I'm at right now.
Interesting. Interesting, man. So there's, you know, a lot of different things we can dive into. One thing I would love to hear from your perspective, I've been fortunate enough not to have a crazy amount of death around me in my life. I am grateful for it every single day that it's like, I haven't had as many of those experiences where, you know, people say someone close to you dies and it's like, it just changes your perception in a sense. And I've had other experiences that have, you know, altered the way I look at life. But I'm curious for you, like, I don't know if at 10, if there was something that clicked or just, you know, throughout growing up and seeing death be almost like normalized. Mm-hmm. Like, what are some of the main things that you've taken from that that maybe show up in your life you know, like daily now?
So I think it's a gift and it's a curse, because what I tell a lot of people is like, and I hear this from people like Wallow. I don't know if you heard of Wallow, 267 Wallow, but he's a motivational speaker as well. But he said that you have to sometimes go insane to stay sane. And what happened was I ended up turning off my emotions and how I felt in those moments, because I knew if I sat there and I cried for a day, for a second, for a minute, or if I slowed down, or I said, this day is not my day, so let me just take a step back, you know, and let me feel these emotions, I probably wouldn't have made it out of my situation. And so I had to go to a place where I had to turn off my emotions and how I was feeling, because I knew that tomorrow was going to be another day. You know, like every single day, the sun goes up and it goes down, right? And time waits for no man. So I knew at an early age that I realized that this was normalized in my community. It was normalized in my home. And there was no way that I could escape it, because I couldn't control it, right? I couldn't control what was going on around me or anything. I just knew that I could only control two things. That was my attitude and that was my effort. And so every single day as I was growing up, I feel like a key part for me dealing with like death was feeling abandoned, feeling like anybody that entered my life will leave one day. And I knew that when I was in the group home at the age of 9, and when nobody came to get me, that's when something clicked. Like, you came into this world by yourself and you're going to leave here by yourself. And when I was crying and I was hoping that someone was going to rescue me from that moment, no one did, is when I was like, okay, I'm going to take my bike to practice every day. I'm not going to ask nobody for a ride. I'm going to wake up, catch the bus. You know, I'm going to do everything that I got to do to put myself in a position to win.
That's crazy to hear you say that, because when I hear you talk about that at 9, I had a similar experience when I was 19 where like I was running my own business at the time. And it was a moment of realization where it was like, if I am successful in my life, it's my fault. But on the flip side, if I'm a failure, it's also my fault. And it's like, I think once you can take like accountability for your life and like what your life looks like, it's like, you know what I mean? You could go through life and go, well, I was dealt bad cards, or, you know, I'm not at the right job that I want to be, or I'm not, my business isn't successful, or I'm not happy. And it's like, but if you take a moment and say, wait, if I'm successful, it's my fault. And if I'm unsuccessful, it's my fault. If I'm happy, it's my fault. If I'm unhappy, it's my fault. If I'm depressed, it's my fault. Like, the moment once you take responsibility, I think the most powerful thing about it is then you realize that you now have the power to change it, right? Where it's like, you are 9 years old, like, I'm going to go back to practice because I got it. It's on me, right? And it's like, once you make that decision, and it sounds like this is what happened for you at 9. I know this is what happened for me at 19. When I made that decision, everything in my life has changed since that day, because I made the decision to finally take responsibility for my own, for my life, for my results, and for, you know, like what every day looks like.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that right there is big, because just by you even saying, like, just being able to take responsibility and, you know, and I look at a lot of people that either my students or I look at, you know, people in my family. And a lot of times people aren't able to take that type of responsibility or ownership over their life, you know, or over anything that they do, whether it's their education, whether it's their job. You know, people are always looking for somebody to give them a handout. And it's crazy, because I actually had a talk with my student in regards to that. And he was mad at me because he told me that he feels like I'm not supporting his dream. Like, he told me he wants to do his business, or he wants to like start selling his t-shirts and merchandise. And I had to check him, and I had to be like, look, this is your dream, right? You have to act like nobody's coming to save you. Like, nobody is going to give you a handout. And it's so crazy, because that mindset that I had at 9 and the way I move now as an adult, and knowing that nobody's coming to save me, nobody's going to pour into my business, or nobody's going to give me a grant, or I'm going to get these contracts. When I had that type of vision that drives me, like, this is me. And what happened was people started coming into my business. Like, you know, I have like people that are really wealthy that's a part of my board, right? That I could have never envisioned. Like, if you would have told me at the age of when I got out of juvenile hall, if you'd have told me that just by me sitting there and doing my homework would have turned to me sitting in front of this Bank of Commerce in Pleasanton, California, at a round table presenting my business. That just took that because I just sat there and did my homework, not thinking about that. Okay, if I do this, then this is going to happen. If I do this, this is, I didn't even care about that. I just knew that if I pour some positive energy, if I do something good and I work hard at it, then something good has to come out of that.
Facts. Love it, man. That's awesome. So if we jump a little more forward in your story, so you go to juvenile hall, mm-hmm. and it sounds like, again, you kind of have one of these moments where something snaps in you and you start to realize, okay, I got to change something, right? It's like the classic cliche where it's like, if you want things to change, you must change. And you had one of those moments where it was like, okay, it's not that, it's like, it's me. And so I'm curious for you, like, what were some of the shifts and changes you started to make coming out of that, that, you know, really started to help you getting, you know, to where you are even today?
So I think, you know, and hopefully I could get later on to this part called that I reference, are this like three morals that I live by in regards to change the narrative. And so in that process of me being incarcerated is I'm very observant of people's circumstances, situation. And so in that process, when I was there, I remember getting up one day, looking at myself in the mirror and asking myself, do I want to be here for the rest of my life? And when I ended up doing that and I went downstairs and it was towards the evening, and I remember this brother that was in there, and he was like, man, like, he was laughing, you know, he said, what you in here for? And I told him what I was in there for. And he said, man, you don't want to be real criminals like us. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? You know, and he's like, you know, this is my fourth time in here. This is my fifth time in here. You know, yeah. I got this many years, or I got this however many times. And I'm sitting there like, it's so crazy that their minds are captive to just this small portion of their environment. And because they're not able to see anything outside their environment is why they're stuck there. And I realized that that's the same thing that happened to my biological father. He ended up getting, you know, sent to juvenile hall at the same time I got sent to juvenile hall. So in that process was like, I got to change the narrative and I got to change something about my life that's going to set me up for success. And what I was doing was not setting me up for success. So not going to school, not doing my homework, hanging around with people that had all F's, right? If I hang around folks that have all F's, why do I feel like I'm going to be that only person to get all A's? If they don't go to class, why do I feel like I'm going to go to class? And so it was in that moment where I had to realize that I got to change the people that surrounded me and get around people that want to be better, right? And so I feel like in that moment is where I realized, like, you know, something like, I got to sit here and I got to change my environment in order for me to change the narrative.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I feel like it's like, that's one of the most powerful ways to change your perception of life, your actions, your beliefs, like everything, consciously and unconsciously. Because if you start to put yourself around people, even in this example, they get A's, like, they show up differently in their life. They think differently. Yeah. They expect to get an A, which maybe even just the expectancy of getting an A, it's like, that's a different, it's like you, because sometimes it's like, oh, I have this thought or this belief that's not serving me in my life and I need to change it. But if we try to just change it on our own, it's much harder than if we get around a group of people that already have those beliefs that we want, because they're going to naturally push us into that place. And also, if we don't have those beliefs and we want to fit in with this crowd, like survival of the fittest, we're gonna learn those behaviors so that we can stick around in this crowd. So it's cool that you had that at a young age.
What's up, my friends? It's Stu, and I have big news. After interviewing hundreds of people on their journey in life and experiencing my own journey to a life full of fulfillment and passion, I finally put together a special guide just for you. And it's called 3 Steps to Finding Direction in Under 10 Minutes. And you can go grab it at findingdirectionuniversity.com/3steps. If you're feeling lost and like you're not quite sure what you want to do with your life, this guide will help you figure out exactly what your next step is in just under 10 minutes. You're not alone in this journey, and I'm excited to guide you through this process until you've truly created a life that you love. Go grab the guide at findingdirectionuniversity.com/3steps. I look forward to helping you create your dream life.
And I'm curious to hear from you. So what is, you were talking about the narrative and your morals and kind of shaping some of these things. So fill us in on what those three things were, if you would.
So when it comes to changing the narrative, right? So I kind of viewed it and I broke it down this way. In order for people to change the narrative, the first thing that they have to do, they have to reevaluate their environment. They have to reevaluate the people that they circle themselves with. If people aren't serving your purpose, are not bringing value to your life, then why are they truly in your life, right? So reevaluating who are you with, because if you are surrounded in an environment where people cannot see past their environment and cannot have a futuristic mindset, you're going to be stuck and hold captive to that environment. That's the first thing. The second thing is that people have to be comfortable in uncomfortable territories or in uncomfortable situations, right? Because a lot of times the life that we want is there in uncertainty. Like the life that we want is in the unknown. And so you have to be in a position where you're trying to take that risk that people don't usually want to take. And the only way you're going to do that is going back to the first one, is changing that environment, right? And then the third one is that people have to understand, we talked about this just not too long ago, but you are the author of your own book, right? Like you get to write this story. Like maybe what you went through as a child was tough and was hard, but a lot of that was never in your control because that was based off of somebody else's actions.
Yeah.
You know, but as you get older, everything you do, you're accountable for. You can't sit here and be like, well, my relationship is struggling. I'm with this person. I'm struggling every single time. And every relationship you're in is like a continuous cycle. And it's like, you know that now, and you want to blame the trauma that you went through. It's like, you have to do something about that. Right. If you feel like something is a continuous cycle, you have to sit there and be like, okay, well, I've been through a lot of trauma. Am I going to get the help necessary for me to excel in that? Right. We can't sit here and do the blame game on, you know, my life is hard. And because my life is hard and because I lost my mother, I lost my father, I lost any of that. And I understand that's hard. Right. And that's going to come with this other differences are going to come with some other challenges. But the thing is that we have to understand that we write our own story. Right. What you went through at that specific moment is just a chapter in your life. Right. Now, from chapter one, what's chapter two going to look like? What's chapter three going to look like?
Right.
Right. And all we want to see is progression all the way through. So those are the three morals that I live by when I talk about changing narrative.
Love it, man. Love it. Love it. Love it. Right. So it's your environment, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. Be willing to get uncomfortable, which on this podcast, that is our peanut butter and jelly. That's our jam. Right?
Yeah.
You gotta get uncomfortable. And then third is understand you're the author of your own book, right? And and I think one thing that's interesting is you speak about that too, is it's like the power of focus dictates the direction that we move in our life, right? And it's like, for example, you could be in a for lack of a better term, crappy situation. Mm-hmm. And if all you're focusing on is, well, that's the situation I came from. That's what happened to me. This, that, and the other. Yeah. Where your focus is on not a good place, right?
Yep.
And so where you're going to start to go more now is to not a good place, because that's where your focus is. But if you can say, okay, this stuff happened and it's not good. It does not help me in my life. It was like, this is unfortunate that I had to go through this, but the focus of where I want to go is in this completely other direction. And yeah, that stuff that happened, but like my focus is I want to get to that place over there. Just by simply shifting the focus, right? And like, yeah, stuff may not be in your favor. Stuff may have been bad, but if you just don't even focus on that for a moment and you focus on where you want to go, naturally things are going to shift insanely in your life just because of the simple focus shift.
Yep. Yeah. You know, I'm going to share a story with you because bringing up focus is literally why I'm here right now. Why I have three different businesses, why I'm in my doctorate program right now, getting my doctorate. The thing that happened was in 2019 was one of those situations where I was uncomfortable. I lost my job. You know, I lost my job. My relationship with my lady was going bad. My bank account was negative $2,000. I ended up going to early prevention rehab because it was in that moment where I lost my job, where I realized that something has to change because everything was a cycle. It was like every relationship I was ever in was like a circle. And I was like, I have to do something different so this doesn't happen. And so because I ended up going to early prevention rehab, and that allowed me to be sober for about 2 years and allowed me to focus and understand my emotions, my feelings, and what I wanted to do in life. And when I did that is actually when I started my first business, Bridge Builders to the New Generation. And in my darkest moments is what came the best inventions and ideas. Yeah. And so I focused on that. And then I ended up going back to school to get my master's. And when I got my master's, because I had that, okay, I'm trying to understand who I am. I'm over here growing as a person. I am putting all of my efforts and energy to stay away from the things that I feel like is being disruptive in my life. And I'm going to sit here and I'm going to focus on this dream. I'm going to focus on this business. And I got my master's. Never in my life would I thought I would have got my doctorate. But like I said, when you put yourself in an environment, when people speak life into you, is what happened to me. When I was getting my master's, people used to call me Dr. Wright all the time. And because someone spoke that in the atmosphere, what happened was my spirit ended up just holding on to that, grasping that. And that's what happens with anything. That's what happened with my business. Yeah. That's what happened with anything that I have done, because I put myself in an environment where people spoke so much life into me. And because I was able to focus is the reason why I'm really here thriving and doing motivational speaking, having two other businesses, you know, being in my doctorate program. But that thing about focus is key, because a lot of times it's like when we're able to focus on what we want to do and try to remove the things that are distracting us or that's holding us back out of our life, is that's the time where we're going to see a lot of growth and separation.
Yeah. So real. And I mean, we could just go back and forth all day, but it's like you were saying too, it's like people that speak life into you, right? I think it's like for anyone that's listening to this, it's asking yourself right now, it's like, do you have people that, as you say what you want to do with your life, they're pouring into you and they're building you up and they're encouraging you? Or do you have people around you that are trying to drag you down or trying to not encourage you, or, you know, and you want to kind of take an audit there and ask yourself, you know, are you around the right people? And if you're not, find a way to get yourself in the right environment.
Yep, exactly. Not. And like you said, we go back and forth, but you know, it's like, you know, just the saying that misery loves company. You know, everybody's cool with you when you are all equal. You know, everybody loves you when you're all equal. Yeah. And I don't necessarily believe in people that are haters. I just feel like a lot of people are misguided and not able to see and have that mindset of being futuristic of what you want to do, right? And so when you start elevating, a lot of times people will talk bad about you. People will not support you like you feel like they should support you. Nobody in this world, I would say nobody, but I'll say most people in this world, when you start something, people will laugh at you. You won't see the likes like you want to see the likes. People will sit there and repost what you're selling. If it's merchandise, if it's, you know, your business, if it's, you know, you doing some motivational speaking, whatever it is, they'll share for a short period of time. But what you see is nobody supports you. But the time that you elevate and you get to a level, now you see the people that want to click clap, the people that want to cheer, the people that want to say, I always believed in you. Oh, yeah. I know that person. But it's like a lot of times people aren't able to see the things that we see, right? And sometimes we have to be okay with that, right? Like, it's our vision, it's our dream, it's our goal. Like, nobody can see nobody's brain is operating or moving the way my brain is moving, right? And that's with all of us. Like, no matter how inspirational we are, no matter how motivated we are, like, we all think differently, you know? And it's like people sit there and they sit in there stuck in their bubble and they're not able to expand the dream or expand their vision. And they're going to sit there and they're going to try to pull you down with them all the time.
Yeah. Straight up, man. So, so if we jump into Bridge Builders for a second, you know, obviously here you're helping people in underserved communities, you know, kind of get the tools, the resources, like the things they need to really go in the right direction in life rather than being pulled in some things that's not going to take them in the right place. Yeah. And I would be curious if you could share with us, like, what are, and I know before this you were doing some mentoring programs with them, but I would be curious to hear from you, like, what would you say are two or three maybe like core things you really want to ingrain into them that are like, if you only get these one, two, three things from Bridge Builders, like, I know you're going to start going in the right direction in your life. Like, what are those type of, whether it's resources or things you share with them or, You know what I mean? What are those tools that people need?
So with our students, the first thing that I always have them do and talk about is understanding who they are, right? And people talk about this all the time as well, but understanding your why. And sometimes our why could be flawed. And I had to tell my students this as well, because I had a dream of going to the NFL. And it was because I thought that I really loved football and I really was passionate about playing in the NFL one day. But when I really broke that down and I understood that my why was I really wanted my biological father to see me play on Sundays, because I felt abandoned. I felt alone. I wanted him to see that I was worth it. So I always try to tell my students, like, you have to really understand your why and break that down. The next thing that I tell them is that they have to be accountable for any and everything you do. There's consequences to it. And any type of wrong, even if you feel like you're in the right, you had some wrong in that and you have to own that. Like, you could be sitting here like saying that person did wrong, that person's wrong, that person's wrong. They might be wrong to more extent than you are, but at the end of the day, you still had something that you could have changed in that situation or the circumstance for it not to escalate like this.
Yeah.
Then the next thing that I always tell my students all the time is, you hear a lot of people say this, you need a plan B, right? You need a plan C, you need a plan D, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't tell them that. What I tell them is that you have to expand the dream, right? You have to learn to expand the dream and expand the vision. And what does that mean? If you want to go to the NFL, if you want to be a professional athlete, that's going to be for a small period of your life. In that process, what are you doing to make sure when that is over, that you are expanding your dream? So if that is getting into being an entrepreneur, right? Finding something that you love to do, finding something you like. And that's something that I try to implement. And there's another thing that I know I'm over, but there's another thing that I tell my students all the time is that your life, the way you all envision your 20s and your 30s, I want you to understand a lot of that stuff's not gonna work out the way you think it's gonna work out. Your 20s is a time where you have to explore what you want to do in your life. Like, that's the time where you get to sit there and be like, I want to try this. Oh, yeah. I messed up. This didn't work out for me. Let me go ahead and do this. Like, that's a time where you have to be greedy and you have to have a grit about you. You have to have a hunger about you. And you have to figure that out in your 20s and even your 30s. And what happens is a lot of times my students end up, you know, a lot of times when I sit there and I ask them, like, what do you want to do when you get older? Oh, I want to be a professional athlete. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a doctor. I want to be. And so it seems like it's a very routine, systematic train of thought of,
yeah,
oh, this is in our society. This is what everybody in education, you know, because just understanding what education is designed for is not designed to allow you to think for yourself. So because they're sitting there and they're like, I want to do this. I want to do that. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, if there was no money attached to what you want to do,
yeah,
what is that you want to do? Like, what do you love to do? And they're like, well, Mr. Wright, I love what you do. I said, okay. I said, you could go ahead and do the same thing I'm doing, right? I said, I love working with y'all every single, like, when I go to work, when I go here, I love it. And yeah, the thing about it is that we're expanding, we're moving, we're, you know, growing at a fast rate. Like, we started in 2019. And mind you, it was a pandemic in 2020, yeah, you know, and we already are at 3 schools right now. And next school year, we'll be at 5 schools, right? And that's just for those, I'll say this is really after 1 year of us showing the work that we have done, right? And just showing the importance, right, of being here. So I try to tell my students all the time is that don't try to limit yourself to what our society says success looks like. I want you to explore what you love to do, and whatever you love to do, what's going to happen is your purpose, God's going to end up expanding that to so many different ideas, and you're going to sit there and follow and navigate it. But if you sit here and you say, okay, I want to be a lawyer, you become a lawyer, and you hate it.
Yeah.
Now you feel stuck because you spent, I don't know how many years in school you spent just trying to be a lawyer, and now you feel stuck because you don't even know if you can get out this situation. And a lot of people don't. A lot of people feel trapped.
Yeah, it is interesting. I it's a beautiful question, right? Like, if you didn't think about money, well, then what would you do? It's like I could visualize seeing the kids in that moment where they're like, oh, wait, okay, well, then if the, you know, and they're like, well, then this and that and this and the other. And it's like such a different answer. But it's again, kind of because of the way society sort of, you know, like forms us to think in a certain way, not rather than thinking for ourselves. And it's like one of the greatest skills you can have in the world is thinking, right? Like knowing how to think, thinking your own, like, and learning that ability is will change your life. And so, Shimon, man, I'm curious, you know, obviously you're doing a lot of incredible things in the world. If people want to see what you're up to, how to get a hold of you, just, you know, follow along in your journey, what's the best way for them to find you and everything you're up to?
So I'll say the best thing to find me will be on Instagram. I'm on Instagram all the time. So I post motivational videos every single day. But it's s.underscorewright. That is my personal Instagram. My business Instagram, if you want to see what we're doing in the community, is Bridge Builders NG. That's our Instagram. And so you can either find us on with my personal one, or you can also go ahead and look at our business Instagram as well.
Solid, man. Cool. So last question I have for you. We ask this to all of our guests because we want to help people find direction, but we believe in doing it through action. And so I would be curious for you, what would you say is one thing someone listening to this can do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
I say you have to look at your environment. You have to look at the people in your environment and understand if these people are generally trying to pour life into me. If you're sitting there every single day and you're talking to your friend on the phone about some drama, right? Is that person really helping you? And I'm not saying cut these people off. I'm not saying get rid of them or eliminate them. But what I'm saying is sometimes you cannot spend all of your energy in that specific area. If every single night your spouse just wants to sit on the couch and watch TV and, you know, you're not able to grow and develop, right? Is that person really there to help you grow and thrive in life? And so you have to constantly ask yourself, you have to look at the people close to you and ask yourself, is this person helping me or trying to help me develop and get me to where I want to be in life? Like, are you happy? If you're happy in your life, totally fine. Go ahead. That's totally fine. But if you are confused and you feel like there's more life out there for you, these are the questions that you have to have with yourself. And I just remember this, and I'm going to leave with this. But when my high school football coach ended up adopting me, he ended up taking me in. And when he took me in, one of my best friends who actually died last year, he called me and he said, "Man, Shimon, we got to get in this fight. Come pull up." I went to my high school football coach and I told him in his own house, I said, "Coach Pika, can you take me to where my friends is at because they're about to fight?" He said, "Well, Shimon, if you leave this house, you can never come back." And I remember looking in the bedroom and I saw a bed, I saw a TV, and I made the decision to stay in that house. And if I didn't stay in that house, I probably would have ended up dead or in prison. So understanding that the hardest decision was for me to let my friends down, but I knew I couldn't give this opportunity up. And I was aware of the opportunity that presented itself to me. So those are the things that I'll tell you is to reevaluate your environment and see if the people around you are really serving your life and your purpose.
Love it. Love it. Awesome, man. Well, Shimon, thank you so much for coming here, brother. It's been a joy to hear your story,
appreciate
your journey.
You, Stu.
And thank you for the wisdom, my man.
Appreciate you, Stu, man. You have a blessed day. Like I said, thank you so much for this opportunity, man. I really do appreciate it. And it does not go unnoticed.
Absolutely, man.
Congratulations, my friend, on crushing it through another episode here on the Finding Direction podcast. Make sure you give yourself a pat on the back. Give yourself a round of applause because you are one of the few who will not settle for a life less than anything that lights up your soul every single day. So congratulations for crushing it through another episode. We will see you on the podcast next week. And if you haven't yet, please do go leave us a review on the iTunes store. Leave us a rating on Spotify. That's how we get this in front of more people and ultimately make more of an impact. So have a wonderful rest of your day, and we will talk to you on the podcast next time.